Well, let's just start with that.
Let's keep going. Let's do this. Oh my God. Welcome to Fruits of the Spirit. Hey.
Yes, welcome to Fruits of the Spirit, a podcast where queer and trans people of color talk about their spiritual journeys. I'm your host, Enrique Cintron, and this show was born out of a desire to create a platform for queer and trans people of color to share their stories of faith. And there's a couple motivations behind that. For one, I think that many of my fellow cutie pox, QTPOC. That's how I say it.
I like that.
Please use that.
Hashtag cutie pox. You heard it here first.
Many of my fellow cutie pox have been told to use a Christian expression, specifically that there's no fruit in us, right? We're told that we can't possibly be good, faithful people and be queer or trans or bi or gay at the same time. So I wanted to share our stories to show that not only is it possible, but we are flourishing
in the spirit.
Yes, we are. And doing really powerful works of justice in the world. And secondly is the fact that a lot of progressive faith media is very white. Very white. Even
white! White.
even amongst queer Christian media in particular is still very white. And it's really challenging when you are on a journey of deconstructing and reconstructing your faith and you do not see yourself represented in the stories that are being shared. Mm. So I wanted to offer this podcast as a way to change that.
Well, congratulations, Enrique Cintron. I liked it when you said it with the accent.
Mm. You know, that's part of my healing journey. Because I used to say Cintron. And that's not how you say it.
That is not how you say it.
That's not how you say it.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I should introduce myself, right?
Yes.
I'm Dasha St. Remy. I go by The Saint. Check me out in all my social media handles, by The Saint. Anyways, yeah, I'm so excited to be your first guest, Enrique Cintron.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not Dasha St. Remy. I'm Dasha St. Remy.
Thank you.
With the accent.
Dasha. So I envision this as, since it's the first episode, this being a little bit more free-flowing.
Okay.
You know.
We could talk about all the shenanigans?
All the shenanigans.
Okay.
I don't have a set thing going on here except to, you know, talk about faith journeys.
Cool. Yeah. We should probably say that we have this audience that's, like, really staring us down. Makes it a little bit of...
Yes. And by audience, we mean audience of three very wonderful people.
Mystic Soul family. We just came from Mystic Soul,
yes.
Chicago.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Yes.
And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, we should talk about how we met, because we met through Mystic Soul.
That's right. So a year and a half ago, I went to Mystic Soul for my own healing journey, and I was going on my own. I had a rough 2017, so I went the top of 2018, and I was like, you know, I'm just gonna go. I heard about Mystic Soul online, and I read, you know, thoroughly what this space would be about. I'm like, that looks like my people. And so I went, and come to find out, a friend of mine, Lex, was also going, and that was like last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And met all these beautiful people from Philly. I don't know if she would want to. She is my elder, and I respect her as such. Calithia Dowdy brought us all together for a dinner party the night of Chicago, real cold in Chicago in January. And built my family, my Mystic Soul family, and since has been such a blessing to my life, continues to add and add and add to my life. And I hope I do the same to theirs. And I don't know. Definitely. I don't know what they would say, but they sure have multiplied me in many ways, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, that's how we met. And now we work together.
We sure do.
We don't want to get into that too much.
I mean, we can.
We can.
But I'm good. But you did say you didn't want to talk about work earlier.
That's right. We won't talk about work, but we do work together. I'm so happy we share that space because you have been definitely a great support for me during the season as I take on this role as lead interim pastor for this particular congregation that I'm a part of.
For this particular congregation that we will not name. Yeah, I mean, the feeling is very mutual, both at work and also our Mystic Soul connection. And you bring so much to my life that I am extremely grateful for.
You don't have to say that. You really don't.
But I do.
So, may I ask you some questions?
Please.
So if we're going to pop off, you know what I'm saying? So, you're Enrique Centron. Let's talk about, you know, just your identity and just how you present or show up in spaces and how you would like to be seen in spaces as well.
I made a face.
You said I could ask anything.
I did say that. Mostly everything is on the table.
Come on. Let's go to.
I identify as queer, as Latinx. I have like a strange relationship to the whole Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine, if you want to be even more different, to that whole identity, only because it's, you know, I think for a lot of people in my generation, we have complicated relationships with that, because so much of it is often tied to specific experiences of language and culture. It is a term that I claim for myself. I also identify as non-binary, so I use they, them pronouns. I came out as non-binary femme over a year ago, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you ask?
How do you like to be seen and how do you show up to a space? I think that kind of answers it if you want to say more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very extra. I'm very like, it's
one of no. Yes, you are.
It's been like an interesting thing for me to like to honor and claim for myself, because for most of my life, I've been very demure, very shy, very like closed off from the world. But as I've come to like really step into my own power and really claim my voice and just like take up as much space as I feel called to, it's been really healing for me to just like be my fullest self, you know, and not to like close myself off from the way I want to express myself.
Yeah, I would say that just experiencing you at Mystic Soul last year compared to how I experienced you this past weekend, it's a stark difference. And I didn't even know you then, you know, but just encountering you in those various spaces last year and how I am knowing you now and seeing how you show up in spaces, really just the growth and you walking into your own power, into your own truth is really a beautiful thing. To see all the metamorphosis into this beautiful butterfly.
Leave me alone. I have something in my eyes. Well, now it's your turn. Tell the people about you.
Yeah, so I am Afro-Caribbean American queer woman. I am a artistic minister. I come from a womanist liberation lens. I have identified as queer, I would say for 4 years now. Yeah, and I love the term queer. I remember the first time that I used it, I didn't know the weight or the history behind the term, and people were like really offended.
Really?
Well, it was an older, you know, like, you know, people like to say lesbian, and I really don't consider myself a lesbian. I believe that sexuality is fluid. And I'm fluid even in the way that I dress and the way that I show up and the way that I want to be seen. Like, I could be like, you know, butching it one day and then fabbing it the other day. And so, and it's all of it is an intricate part of me. And so, yeah, I love the term. There's another term from queer that I kind of like honed or want to like steal. It's not my term. I didn't come up with it. But like this idea of queer roles, right? Mm. And so I find that I have a lot of queer roles that like you, especially, you know, after doing the Good Friday service, like all of these people who show up in just their fullness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes me so proud to be queer. And you know, my whole stance on queerness is that I think everybody's queer, you know, everybody's queer, you know, just people are not willing to tap into, exploring something. And that's, and no, with no judgment, people have preferences and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, love is love. Happy Pride. Yes. We gotta put that in.
We are recording in June. So we will say this multiple times during the episode. Mm. We are not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of way about it. Can you tell us a little bit about your trajectory? Because you're from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in Philly. So what happened in between?
Woof. Jesus, how long is this podcast?
You know, however long it needs to be.
I've lived in Miami for 18 years, went to school in Florida, Tampa, Florida, mm-hmm. went back home, and then in the midst of me getting my master's of social work, I was a youth pastor for 5 years in Miami, and I was doing social work. And the thing that kept on coming up was, and especially in therapy, was like, you know, how God, Jesus was like this thing that people used to cope, right? And therapy was like this big pushback, like no one wanted to do therapy. And you have to understand the demographic of the people that I was serving were Caribbean people, mainly Haitian, because I spoke the language and I could offer therapy in the language. And so... I wanted to marry the two, and so I went to seminary. And at first, my pastor was not supportive of me going to seminary. I mean, I was 29, 30 years old at the time, and his thing was like, "Oh, you'll never get married as a woman minister, right?" And so, like, and did not support me the first year. So, second year, I came back to him and said, "Yo, I feel this call to go to seminary." And then he's like, "You know, you came to me the second time. I support you, but understand, you know, your trajectory, you know." So, like, and that's a big thing, you know. You go to college, you get married, you have some kids, right? Especially in my culture background and in the church. And so, indeed, I went to seminary. And yeah, I had a couple of people that was like, you know, checking me out or whatever. And then this girl just was like at me. she wasn't really aggressive, but just made it known that she was very attracted to me. And I actually was the one that called her out on it. It was like,
what's good?
What's good? So I hear you like me. What's the deal, right? And she was, her response to me was like, "Actually, I think you're very ugly." And I was like, so embarrassed, right? And so I was like, so embarrassed. I mean, flushed. I was like, "Oh shit, did I get this wrong?" And I'm not really that confident. Like, people think like I'm confident when it comes to like dating and stuff like that. I'm not. And I sometimes barely know like who, I rarely know who like likes me or like checking me out. But anyways, she admitted, and I was like, and so I then asked her out, and I was like, "Well, let me take you out." You know,
wait, she faked you out?
Yeah, she faked me out and said, "Yeah,
rude."
Huh?
Rude.
That's your response? Rude. But no, so I asked her out, and then I said, "Well, I'll take you out." And then, yeah. And so, long story short, we fell in love with this woman. And that's actually what brought me to Philly. She was originally from Philly. And I had other opportunities to stay in Atlanta or go to New Orleans and followed love. And I got here, and hence how I got to Mystic Soul, because 6 months within me being in Philly, the relationship was over and life was devastating. 2016, I don't remember 2016. Like 2016 was just like this blur to me. I know that I grieved a lot. I know that I was in deep depression. I know I had to get a dog, you know, to get me through.
That's the answer.
You know what I'm saying? Dogs are the answer.
It is.
Dogs are the answer. You know, we should have dogs a part of this fruit of the spirit, because they carry some fruits. They got some spirits, you know what I'm saying? And so I think there's some way that we can kind of like insert them into this podcast.
We can just like drop a sound effect of a dog barking
right every time. Woof. Yep.
Anytime somebody says amen or ashe, we'll just put
woof. Yes, because that's their amen and that's their ashe, right? Yes. So anyways, listen, JJ, shout out to JJ, who is in Mississippi right now, living his best life, who got me through, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, I mean, I'm really like, I could really get emotional about it because it was a hard season in my life. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, just like people come for a season, for a reason, for a lifetime, JJ was here for a season, and then I found Mystic Soul. And, you know, one dog replaced like this plethora of people who have been great and making connections in Philly, you know, got a couple of positions here, work at the Church of the Advocate, and I thought I was going back to Atlanta and decided to make roots in Philly, bought a home, and I am here. And I'm here. And you, you're gonna love me. I'm staying.
I just want y'all to know that there can also be multiple song breaks.
Yes, listen, we are good for some song breaks, though. We are very good for some song breaks.
If you follow either one of us on Instagram, you know that there's some heavy lip syncing that happens.
Always.
It's a good time.
It's part of our self-care plan, especially if we're at work, right?
Yeah, it's a ministry.
Yeah, it is a ministry. They should have a committee for that.
I'm not gonna respond to that, because then I have to deal with their emails. I'm not trying to do all that. I really am not.
Oh man, that's an inside joke. Oh my god. Oh man, that's hilarious.
Oh Jesus, help!
Oh man, pettiness. Whew. Anywho, so I mean, you're native Philly.
Native-ish. Yeah.
Okay, what's the ish part?
I don't know. I mean, I feel very much, even though I was not born there, I feel very much tied to Puerto Rico as a second home. Because we used to visit almost like every 2 to 3 years. So Philly is very much home to me, but Puerto Rico is still very much my heart.
Oh, sure.
I mean, a little bit about my trajectory, because I did leave Philly and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up here. I went to high school here, went to college here subsequently. I actually really wanted to go away for college, but I could not afford it. Mm. So I stayed here. And I studied religious studies. And actually, so let me backtrack a little bit. When I was in high school, I came out first to myself, and then I was outed in high school. And I just, like, I had this very strong inclination to start this, like, journey of spiritual exploration, because I always trace it back to an episode of The Simpsons. So there's this episode of The Simpsons where Lisa becomes a Buddhist. I don't know if you remember
that. Yes, I know that episode.
Okay. So I saw that episode at like 13, 14, whatever age I was, and I was like, oh, I can do that. And so I started researching like different faiths, and I started trying different faiths, and, you know, I think I was away from Christianity for like a good 10, 11 years. And, you know, I mean, I look back at the time with a very like kind of complicated lens, because on the one hand, I was researching and like kind of really getting to know these other faiths. But, you know, I think I also like fell into these traps of cultural appropriation and kind of like taking practices from certain faiths that I liked and kind of leaving the context behind.
Correct.
So kind of looking back at it, I'm just like, I learned a lot from that period, both good and bad.
So what do you call that? Is that like, how would you call that? I know it's not Columbusing, but it's etching closely towards that. I hear you though.
Some people refer to it as like the spiritual salad bar, you know, because you get a little plate, you take what you like.
You just dribble a little bit here, a little bit
when
here.
You see the mayonnaise, you just keep walking.
Yeah, you keep walking. Okay. What kind of dressing you putting in it? Is it a fruit salad?
It is a fruit salad.
It's a fruit salad.
It's very on brand. Okay. Thank you for bringing it back to the brand. I needed that. You know, so I did a lot of spiritual exploration. And so my last year of undergrad, I was working on my senior thesis, researching this very specific topic. And I had a crisis in my family. That I don't really want to get into because it's traumatic. But I had this crisis in my family, and I was really trying to make sense of it, right? Because it was just something that happened very suddenly, and it was very cruel, right? And so I talked to people, my like spiritual friends at the time, and I was like, you know, I really don't know why this happened to this person, right? And their response to me was like, well, you know, we believe in karma, and when somebody does something bad, then it comes back to them as something else, right? And for me, I had a lot of difficulty reconciling this idea of what goes around comes around, which is a very, like, watered-down expression of karma. It's actually a much more complex belief. But I had trouble reconciling that with this idea that I still very much believed of a very, you know, forgiving, loving, benevolent God. It was hard for me to say, to believe that, but also believe that, like, God forgives people, and that God doesn't, like, punish people or, you know, keeps a scorecard or something. So I ended up just kind of like walking away from that. And I remember I had gotten a Book of Common Prayer from an ex-boyfriend. So shout out to my ex-boyfriend for taking me back to church, I guess. Whatever.
Thank you, ex. They good for something.
Sometimes. So my ex gave me a Book of Common Prayer, and I remember thumbing through it because I was just like, I don't really know what else to do. And I mean, like, up to that point, I had kind of like tried to like make the whole Jesus thing work for me again. You know, like I would visit churches and I would try to like it felt good, but at the same time, I didn't really feel like I could bring my entire self just yet.
Yeah.
So when I had this experience of like walking away from all these beliefs that I had and then picking up this book, I was just kind of like, maybe I should just try this on one more time. And I remember I opened the book. I found this collect that was like really beautiful about like people who leave and God leading them back. And then I decided to open the New Testament for the first time in like 11 years. Cause I was just like, I just need a word. And I opened to a particular passage from John where Jesus is meeting the disciples. He's out on the sea and he's walking on the water. And the disciples think he's a ghost and he's like, nah. And I just remember reading that, and I was just like, I felt like it was a very like stormy time in my life, and this was like a sign of like, you know, maybe you should just like try this on.
Step out on the boat, Peter. Step out on the boat. Yeah, but Enrique.
Then I was going to fall in again.
And you can't get your hair wet. You can't get the wet.
Yeah, so then, like, I ended up going to an Episcopal church, and that's kind of where I found my spiritual home to be, and still is. And from that, I applied to the Episcopal Service Corps. Shout out to all the ESC peeps listening to this, which is probably a very small number. But I applied to Episcopal Service Corps because I really wanted to kind of figure out what God was calling me to do in my life. And I got a position in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a time, interesting time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really good experience in my program, but I decided that Boston really was not for me. So
shout out to...
No.
Nope, no shout out. Sorry.
No, sorry. Thank you.
Next.
So after my service year was over, I moved back to Philly, and I really just wanted to put roots down here. And that was 2 years ago.
Wow. That's
Yeah, 2 years ago, sorry.
That's a lot in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to, something that you said that I wanted to kind of touch back on, just this idea of reconciliation or this belief that, this belief of karma that, something that you put out comes back to you, right?
Yeah.
And so because this podcast is about fruits of the spirit, mm-hmm. and it there's yeah, let's go back. You know, I'm good for, listen, I'm good for it. fruits of the spirit, and there's like, it's like a double entendre, maybe multiple entendres around the term. I wonder what are the thoughts and feelings of belief around people like us, queer people, and their relationship with family members who still hold these beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like, you know, our parents, you know, like, you know, in our coming out journey, you know, like it is like, oh, what is it that I did to like get this fruit, this fruit basket, right? I mean, I know we're getting into something deep, but like that's what struck a chord for me because Enrique, I tell you, one of my greatest fear in coming out was like that that's another topic for another day, but really that my mother did not hold any kind of like shame or grief like that. She did something wrong in my child rearing, you know what I'm saying? Or even like my parents, right? Or anybody like there was something that was done wrong and why I came out, you know, a little crooked, you know what I'm saying? but if you look back in my life, I've always been that kid. I was always that kid. I mean, I didn't explore it sexually, but I've always been just really quirky and out of the box, and love being that. And so, just I'm just wondering for you, what are some thoughts and feelings or your experience around that? If family members hold that, and how have they come to reconcile, if they have?
Yeah, I mean, when I came out, my coming out was very, very, I don't know if fraught is the word I want to use, but it was difficult, for sure. More so for my mother than my father. My mom had this whole sense of, like, kind of like, what did I do wrong? You know, feeling like she was being tested by God. Because, like, it was also during a period where there was a lot of other stuff going on in my family, a lot of very difficult things. So she was kind of like, oh, and now I have to deal with this, which is not a great feeling, you know, after sharing something very personal with, you know, in a very vulnerable moment.
Right.
So she did have this sense of, like, you know, God is testing me. I remember I wrote her a letter. That's how I came out to her. I wrote her a letter. And in the letter, I said, God doesn't make mistakes, because I was really trying to appeal to that sense of faith. And she said, God doesn't make mistakes, but God gives us choices. And You know, and I mean, like me in that moment, I just kind of understood, like, oh, she really does think this is a choice.
Mm.
Whereas, like, the only choice I'm really making is to live my life openly.
Right.
There is no other way for me to be. So, you know, and I mean, they both kind of come a long way. They're still very, like, quiet about it. Like, I mean, really just, like, in the last 2 years have I actually seen my parents, like, acknowledge and honor that in me.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's still not really something that they bring up in conversation. It's something that I have to initiate if I want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to speak to the what you were saying about kind of, like, you know, always being this way and, like, you know, your parents feeling like, why suddenly? When it's like, no, I've actually always been this way.
Mm-hmm.
That was also my experience because I've always been a very, like, femme, very extra, very, like, you know. I did a weird hand motion.
You have several hand motions. There's the one behind the ear. Mm-hmm. There's the one under the chin, under which the chin. Is my favorite.
That's the quintessential.
The quintessential. Okay, got that.
you know, I just, like, I've always been this way. And, like, there have been so many moments where, like, I can look back and I was just like, that's me. That's who I've been.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once in particular, it was, like, I think I was 14 or 15, I don't remember exactly. But I was at Target and...
Your favorite place in the world.
My favorite place in the world, thank you so much.
Next to IKEA.
Next to IKEA. I remember I was in Target and the latest Madonna album had come out, which was Confessions on a Dance Floor.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it From a Dance Floor? I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so the new Madonna came out and... I went to go buy the album when I was with my parents. And if you've ever seen the album cover, it's like Madonna in a leotard and she's on a dance floor. There's like disco ball. It's like, it's, yes,
mm-hmm.
it's all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like putting it on the conveyor belt and I'm waiting for the cashier. And my mom looks down at the CD and she's like, are you sure you want that one? And I looked her in the eyes and I said, yes. Yes, I do. So it's just things like that where, like, I know that I have always been this way, and I feel like for parents in particular, they, I don't know, maybe they want to overlook it,
mm-hmm.
and they want to just think that it's just part of, like, childhood.
Right.
And, like, you're in this place of, like, exploring and discovering the human experience, so, like, those things are, you know, like, they'll fade away. It's a phase, right? That's the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not.
She's going through a phase.
She's just going through a phase. She's just going through something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What has been your most easiest coming out? Like, a coming out story that's, like, you thought was going to be difficult but was, like, the most ease?
My aunt Linda. Mm. So my aunt, actually, she passed away last summer. She would always tell me about her queer friends. And I think because she sensed it in me and she was trying to make a space for me to talk about
it. Ashe, ancestor. Yes.
So she would always be like, yeah, you know, my friend Michael or my friend Anthony or, you know, whoever it was. And she would tell me about, like, going to the gay clubs with them and, like, always bringing it up in conversation, like, with no prompting, just, like, putting it out there. And I would be like, oh, I see what you're trying to do here. But yeah, I mean, it was easy.
Mm.
It was so easy. And she really made a lot of space for me. And I'm very grateful for that.
Mm.
What about you?
Mine was most recent, actually. When we were in Chicago.
Yes.
It's so crazy how that even happened because it wasn't even planned. Usually I'm planning out, okay, I'm ready to tell you this person at this time, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I thought I saw one of my best friends in Chicago. And so I pick up the phone to call her mm-hmm. to see, because she's a traveler, and to see if it was her. And it wasn't her. And... ended up just having this conversation just about everything. And I don't know what got me to the point where, like, I felt the need to tell her. But yeah, I think I realized that, man, we've been good friends for so long. This is a person that, I mean, just the thought that we would be in the same city, like I got excited about it, right? Mm-hmm. And realized how much I miss that part of our friendship. And there's something that I think I'm going through in this season where I'm like, I want people to know me. And I don't. And it's not to like, it's not really coming out like, but it's more just like, I just want you to know me. I want that intimacy. I want that connection. So I really don't call it like this coming out thing. I just want to get deeper in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends are not here. I have friends here, but my friends from my past are in Georgia or in Florida. And they don't know this part of me. They don't know like in detail, yeah, the deepness of like who I've become, mm-hmm, and loving myself in it. And so, yeah, so I was on the phone with my friend Danielle, and I kind of shared, you know, what I've already shared with you all about my first relationship in seminary. And she was like, oh, okay.
And
that was easy.
I feel like when you come out, you should just get an easy button.
Listen, but it has to be the rainbow colors, though. Yes. It has to have the rainbow colors in it. No, you know what it should be? We should listen. I don't know if we should put it on the record because somebody's gonna take our idea. Every time you come out, you should press it. It should say "Happy Pride." With the barking, yes. Because the dogs have a testimony, too. Yeah. It's all coming together. It can have, like, three options. Like, the first one is Happy Pride, and the other one can be like, woof, woof.
See, the woof woof has a different context in certain so, but we're not gonna get into
okay,
that.
We're not gonna get into that.
That's a different show.
That's a different show for a
Although
different time.
We are sex positive on the show, thank you very much. That's a different episode.
But yeah. Oh my god. Oh my, why do I have the song Nothing But the Dog in Me in it?
Oh my
why
god,
does I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Why do I have this song in my head?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, but yeah, so anyways, told Danielle and I think my greatest fear is, you know, cause she's married, she's partner, and she actually told me that her husband actually came years ago had asked her about, you know, me and my sexuality. And I was
really?
Like, yeah, I said, I knew he knew. And I was like, on Facebook, I would try to engage him in conversation and I would get this pushback because he was a very conservative Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And so my fear, because I am the godmother of their first child, confidentiality. I was about to say his name. But yeah, I'm the godmother. And I'm like, my fear is like, you know, people have ideas about who we are as queer people and like this idea, like these just sick idea of being around children and things like that and having my godchild strip away from me. And I used to care for him a lot during the time I was in seminary when they had things to do. And I would care for him. And I didn't want that taken away from me. I had no fear, actually. I had no fear about our relationship, but just, you know, people are in relationship with their partners and have great influence, especially if you're in this marriage that says the man is the head of the household, and if he's making the call, that's what was, you know, that I was afraid of, and I kept it to myself to this point. And yeah, and she was like, you know, it doesn't change the way I feel about you. I love you. We can have different views about it, but yeah, be great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was an amazing call.
That's so beautiful. I mean, I think it's becoming a little bit more common to have, you know, folks in our lives who really see us for who we are. But, you know, I mean, just like 10 years ago, that wasn't even my experience.
Yeah.
So it's just, the tide is definitely shifting, but there's still so much
work to do.
So much work to do.
I would say that our children are okay, though. That's one of the things I kept. I keep reviewing.
The kids are all right.
The kids are all right. The kids are all right. Yeah, and so, you know, we'll talk about queer family and things like that on another episode.
Future stuff.
But yeah, the kids are all right.
Who are some of your possibility models?
For what?
For who you are and who you want to be.
I'm just saying, you're getting personal. Possibility models for what? We got some models in the building. My possibility model, Queen Latifah. Queen the fuck Latifah. Yeah, she is strong. She is talented. I mean, I remember the first time I heard the song, Who You Calling a Bitch? UNITY, right? And I'm like, yo, who is this woman? Queen Latifah, MC Light? Listen, I mean, a lot of my possibility models come from hip hop, you know, women in particular. Like, I love women who rap. Lauryn Hill. I mean, and I know you're asking me possibility model as far as queer women, but
it's open ended.
Yeah, it's. I just there's something that each of these women offer me. The great Nina Simone. I am in love. Adrienne Marie Brown say, like, we should find ancestors who we crush on. Yes. When I tell you, hands down, that is my boo. Nina Simone is my boo, okay? Yeah, and so, but I would say, yeah, I say currently, Queen Latifah has this grace about her, this classiness about her, where she is not one to flaunt, like, who she is. We know who she is, right? But there's, like, I don't have to announce myself to you. I am Queen Latifah, you know what I mean? And, but yet, you see her supporting the cause. Janelle Monáe, definitely, I think, for the younger generation, just unapologetically who she is, and making room and space for people to live into their truth. The arts, and I said this, like, I'm an artistic minister. The arts has a way of freeing us up. The great ancestor who we just celebrated a birthday, Prince, the song, I'm not a woman, I'm not a man, I am something that you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? So there are possibility models out there for generations back. You know, generations back. I think Betsy was that the one that we watched? Bessie? Yeah, that we watch. Possibility model as far as queer. Like, this thing, it didn't just show up. You know what I'm saying? We didn't just rise up from the dirt or started flowing from the sea. Like, we've been here. I think the great thing about technology is that we have more visibility, right? Instagram, and we can see it, and people, and for the conservative folks, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, the censoring everything because you're afraid. Don't watch the queer people because you might turn queer, you know, type of thing. Like, no, it doesn't. Too late. Like your horoscope just today.
I need to name that. My horoscope today said, it is now time to banish pettiness. And I said, too late.
Ready, too late. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. But yeah, so I mean, so those are my possibility models. And honestly, let me go ahead and drop this. I am my possibility model. I want to be somebody's queero. You know what I'm saying? I want to be. Yeah, I hope to be a possibility model for the generation to come.
That's beautiful. Does anyone in the audience want to ask a question real quick?
Oh, man. I'm afraid to hear these questions, but we got it.
Go ahead. Well, in that spirit, I moved to a journey.
In the fruit of that spirit.
Let's go.
and the fruit of that spirit. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure being a part of this first episode of Fruit of the Spirit podcast.
Thank you so much for being
here. Yes, and I'm excited to hear who all will come and share space with you and share laughter and crazy theology or just nonsense in this space. And I hope it does. It makes room for not just laughter and joy, but also like people can like relax and into themselves, into their beings. And so congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you.
All right, y'all. See you next time. We'll hear you next time.
Woof, woof.
Goodbye.
'all, it's Enrique, and I just want to thank you so much for listening to this first episode of Fruits of the Spirit. You just heard a conversation between myself and my friend, colleague, singing partner, the Reverend Dasha St. Remy. I am just so happy to have shared this conversation with you all. This podcast is going to be released bi-weekly, so our next episode is coming out on July 1st. In the meantime, if you want to follow the podcast on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at FOTS Podcast. That's FOTS Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook at Fruits of the Spirit Podcast. And if you have any recommendations or suggestions for people that I should interview for the show, feel free to email me at FOTSPodcast, that's FOTS podcast, at gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on social media because you feel compelled to, I would love that. My Twitter and Instagram is Enrique Sint, that's Enrique, E-N-R-I-Q-U-E, Sint, C-I-N-T, all one word. And yeah, I am just so excited for the future of this show. So with that, bye.